ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, text 27. Yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat chuhoshi, tadasi, yat yat tapasyasi, kaunteya, tat kurushva, mat arpanam, yat karoshi yat ashnasi, yat karoshi yat ashnasi, yat chuhoshi tatasi yat, yat chuhoshi tatasi yat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurushva mat arpanam, tat kurushva mat arpanam, yat karoshi yat asnasi, yat chuhoshi tatasi yat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurusha mat arpanam. Yat karoshi yat asnasi. Yat chuhoshi tatasi yat. Yat tapasyasi kaunteya. Tat kurusha mat arpanam. Yat karoshi yat asnasi. Yat chuhoshi tatasi yat. Yat tapasyasi kaunteya. Tat kurusha mat arpanam. Yat karoshi yat asnasi. Yat chuhoshi tatasi yat. Yat tapasyasi kaunteya. Tat kurusha mat arpanam. Mataji. Yat karoshi yat asnasi. Yat chuhoshi tatasi yat. Yat tapasyasi kaunteya. Tat kurusha mat arpanam. Yat karoshi yat asnasi. Yat chuhoshi tadasi yat. Yat tapasyasi kaunteya. Tat kurusha mat arpanam. Yat. Whatever. Karoshi. You do. Yat. Whatever. Ashnasi. You eat. Yat. Whatever. Chuhoshi. You offer. Tadasi. You give away. Yat. Whatever. Yat. Whatever. Tapasyasi. Austerities you perform. Kauntea. O son of Kunti. Tat. Tat. Kurushva. Tu. Mat. Unto me. Arpanam, as an offering. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Purport. Thus it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance, Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together, and Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live, therefore he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies, therefore Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called Archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra on his beats, he is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Yat karoshi yat asnasi yat chahosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat karusha mat arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Om Agyati Maranyasya Gnanchana Salakyam Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangumlangai Tikarim Yat Kripatam Mahamvande Shri Gurum Dina Taranam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here Krishna recommends, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So in this chapter, Krishna also mentioned different kinds of worship, different kinds of adoration, or performing some ritual. And he mentioned that in text 25 of this chapter, that according to one's worship, one attains that result. So if you worship the forefathers, you go to the planets of the forefathers, Pitriloka. If you worship the devas, particular deva or demigod or demigoddess, then you go to that realm, in the heavenly planets. And if you worship the evil spirits, ghosts or demons, then you go to their planets. But if you worship me, then you will attain me. Yanti mat yachino pimam. Yanti deva prata devam pitri yanti pitri prata bhutani yanti bhutani yanti mat yachino pimam. So you will attain me. And then the question is, how the devotee will, what kind of worship he will do to Krishna, for somebody who likes to surrender to Krishna or worship Krishna, how he can worship him. So that's maybe Arjuna's thought, or any persons thought who as an, who is an aspiring devotee, who wants to be an aspiring devotee of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, or any form of the Lord, of Lord Vishnu, Narayana, or Krishna himself, who is present there. How can we please you? How can we worship you? So there are different kinds of worships described. Every kind of worship is done for the pleasure of a certain personality, what that personality like. Like Shiva has a certain way how we worship, one worships him, what kind of flower one worships him. And Shiva Ratri, there's a tradition they also want to serve Shiva something kind of intoxicant, because they consider Shiva likes it. Although he's actually a supreme yogi, he doesn't need intoxication, so he doesn't need any kind of drug to become high or become absorbed in meditation. Someone speculates then because Shiva one time he drank some poison from the milk ocean, this Kalahuta, so therefore we also can do this, and then it's Shiva Mahaprasad. And in the name of Mahaprasad, one takes this kind of drug. And it's tradition on the certain Hindus, you know, to take this kind of drug in Shiva Ratri, so that, because it's Prasad. But if you give them Krishna Prasad, you know, then they say, no, I only like this Krishna Prasad, and this Krishna Prasad I don't like. I only like this preparation, and this preparation I don't like. Then they make distinction, what they like. But then that's not surrendering. So ultimately we concoct something, what we think, what a certain deva or what the Supreme Lord likes, according to what I like. So we offer him that what I like. We don't ask him what you like. Or we concoct, oh, he once drank poison, so that means he likes poison. And some yogis, they're smoking all the time to become high, to enter trance in meditation. And they think even it is helpful for their meditation. That's concocted. That's nowhere described in the scriptures that we have to intoxicate ourselves. To become absorbed in meditation of a demigod or of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one time, Devi, that means Parvati, she asked her husband, Shiva, what is the greatest worship in this universe? Because we see there are different kinds of worshippers. Some worship myself, the Devi, as Devi, Kali, goddess, Durga in so many different names and forms, sometimes with 8 arms, different weapons, sometimes in a very ugly way, sometimes in a lovely way, in meditative way. So, but they worship me, some they like to worship you, also in the different features, in ugly way and in Shanti way. Meditation way, or in a charitable way, because you give them something what they need, or they worship Indra for certain benefits, because he's the god of the demigods of Svarga Loka, so he can grant you maybe somaras, the beverage of immortality, that you can stay for a long time, young and fresh, and can enjoy as much as you like in this material body, in this material world, in this life, and in next life you attain Amrit Loka, heavenly planets, to enjoy even longer and even more better. So they worship Indra. Some worship Surya for powers, control. It's a mode of passion. and worship Surya Dev. So they have different kinds of worship. And only very rarely actually somebody worships Vishnu. It's a Vaishnava who worships Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, the God of Gods, Deva Deva. So Parvati asks, you should know your Bhava. Bhava means the father of the universe. You know who is the greatest worshipper. You are all-knowing. You are very knowledgeable. You are absorbed in the scriptures and in the Vedic knowledge. Can you please tell me, what is the highest worship? So Shiva answered, Aradhanam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. So of all the worshippers, or worshipping methods, the worship of Vishnu or Krishna, who is the origin of Vishnu, is best. But even better than that is that what is dear to Vishnu. Aradhanam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param, Tasma Paratram Devi, Paratram, even better than that, higher, is Tadiya. Paratram Devi, Tadiyanam Samarchanam. If you worship that what is dear to Krishna, or Vishnu. And what is dear to him is that what is Tadiya. Tadiya means very, very dear. Like Tulsi Devi, like the Vaishnavas. That's Tadiya. The holy land of Vrindavan, it's also Tadiya. So to worship Tadiya, that what is in relation with the Lord, this is the supreme worship method. That's the supreme worshipping method of all worshippers. Therefore, the best worship is to worship Vishnu and that what is dear to him. And that also Krishna is pointing out here in the Gita, that ultimately somebody who likes to attain him, who wants to attain Krishna's favor, he has to also worship him. But in which way? So that's described in yesterday's verse, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam. So if you offer me a leaf, some water, some flower, patram, pushpam, palam, some fruits, with love and devotion, with bhakti, I will accept. And that's where the simple process of bhakti. And here further Krishna describes how a devotee, somebody who likes to be a devotee of the Lord, that he will do everything for the pleasure of the Lord. Actually, most of the worshippers, they all mostly do some, not for the pleasure of a certain deva or devi, or the object of worship, but they do it for their own benefit. And this is karma. This is a fruitive activity. It's not nice karma. But actually, our acharyas recommend, especially Narad Muni, is nice karma. That means a karma without reaction, without any attachment. That means without any enjoying spirit. Because only these kind of karma or activities what are engaged in the service of the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord, are satisfying for the soul. Yayatma supersedati. So the soul cannot be nourished ultimately by sense gratification. Because the soul is not a matter, it's not a material product. Only the soul who is in illusion that I am the material body considers material sense gratification, everything. Supreme enjoyment, the goal of life, to enjoy as much as possible. And the jnani was also on the bodily concept. No, he wants to attain mundane knowledge. But Narad Muni, he says, mundane knowledge doesn't look very good if it is not dovetailed or in relation with the Supreme Lord. That means if you attain knowledge or develop knowledge, but this knowledge is not meant to understand Krishna, then this knowledge doesn't look very good. It's not accepted by really spiritual, intelligent persons who are spiritually inclined. What to speak, then Narada says, what in his Vyasa Shiksha, instruction to Vyasadev, what to speak then of the karmis, of the sense, of the fruitive workers, what to speak of them, if the jnani is already not looking good without Krishna, dovetailed with Krishna, what to speak of fruitive activity, what are from very beginning on already troublesome, what to speak of the result. Karmic activities are troublesome already from very beginning. And what will be the result? Even more trouble. But life is not meant for trouble. Life is meant to become happy, or to be happy all the time. Ananda Maya Vyasat. Living entity is like the Lord, looking for happiness. But we're looking in false place, in Maya. Maya samsara. Krishna never goes in this kind of realm of sense gratification. He's always param. He's always in transcendental position. He's always enjoying. He's always in happiness. So if Eva, as living entity, want to become happy, is therefore recommended to give happiness to Krishna. So the acharyas say there are two ways how to understand this verse. You can do it in karma yoga way. That means you whatever you do, whatever you eat, and whatever you give away, or whatever kind of tapasya you do, you do it first for yourself, and then later on you understand, I should give it to Krishna. Then it is karma yoga. Because you do it first because you like it. I like tapasya. I like to give in charity. I like to do pious work. Like that. Yeah. Whatever you do, whatever you give away, whatever tapasya you perform, do it for me. So we do it for our own. And then later on we realize actually we should give something to Krishna also. Because scriptures, we hear now this verse, and Krishna tells we should give something to him. And Prabhupada in the purport says, so whatever we have extra, we should give to Krishna. That's the karma yoga. The devotee who is motivated out of affection or love to Krishna is not doing like that. From very beginning on, whatever he gives, whatever austerity or what he performs, or whatever he gives away. And what else is there? Whatever he eats. So he's doing it always for Krishna. For Krishna's pleasure. That's pure bhakti. Without motivation. But actually this verse is an encouragement for somebody who is not on the pure devotional platform, who is still immixed, who wants to become an aspiring devotee, who still has a tendency for karma, jnana. So Krishna says, okay, dovetail it with me. Do it for me. Also think about me. Not only about you and your family and your nation and your and etc. Do it for me. So in this way, you will ultimately become purified and you come to me. You will attain me. Learn how to work for my interest. If you eat before whatever you like to eat, you offer it to me. So for those who don't who are not knowing Krishna exactly what he likes to eat. So Krishna, they offer Krishna, Krishna recommends, just offer it to me. And he also mentioned before what he likes, what he prefers. Of course, he doesn't like meat, doesn't like fish, doesn't like eggs, he doesn't like drugs. Krishna doesn't need all these things. Therefore, a devotee, we should not think sometimes, oh, because I like it, I can offer it to Krishna. This we cannot do. Then it's offensive, because we cannot offer Krishna something that is what he doesn't like. We have likes and we have dislikes. We have to respect that. Everyone is individual. Everyone has a likes and dislikes. So we cannot force anyone to accept that what you like to eat. The flower, what you like. So therefore we offer Krishna that what he likes. And that he says, fruits, vegetables, water, milk, like this. You can offer to me. Leaves actually means tulsi leaf also. Offer it to me with love and devotion. I will accept it. Especially with love and devotion. If we only offer to him because I want to eat, and you don't offer with love and devotion, then Krishna doesn't have to accept it. So what actually stays behind our cooking and our offering to Krishna, it's not the ritual, it's the bhakti, the loving affection behind it. Sometimes we only do the ritual, but we forget the bhakti, the affection to Krishna. And we do the worship and the offering, but we do it not with full heart, with love and devotion to the Lord. And actually, ultimately, Krishna is pleased only with love and devotion. He's not in need of our offering. He's not a hungry man. He's not starving here out in the road and begging, give me something. He's not a Daridra Narayana. Narayana is never Daridra. He's never poor. He's always Srinath, Lakshmi. He's always on his side. Lakshmi is Chanchala, as we know. She's unsteady, flickering. She doesn't like to stay in one place for a long time here in this material world. But very interesting, this flickering and unsteady Lakshmi, she never likes to leave the service to Krishna. She's attached. She's so much attached, she doesn't want to give this opportunity to anyone else. She never leaves. Therefore, we need the favor of Lakshmi, or Radharani, that we have opportunity, that the Lord recognizes us. Because without his energy, internal energy, we cannot attain the mercy of the Lord. So Lakshmi is very attached and very dear to the Lord, and very attached to the service, because she is always engaged in devotional service to please her Lord. And she never leaves his lotus feet or his chest, always trying some favorable service for him. It is actually said that it's not we who are cooking, it is Lakshmi who cooks. And for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it is for those who worship Radha Krishna, it's Radharani who cooks. She prepares everything because she knows what is best. She has the greatest love to Krishna. And she is the greatest expert. She knows what Krishna likes, what her Lord likes. Lakshmi also knows that. Therefore, a cook, he just puts the ingredients together, and let Lakshmi or Radharani cook. And then Radharani will prepare everything. That's the meditation. We are not cookers. We are not the doers. We let Radharani cook. We let the spiritual master act through us. We are just instrumental. It's not I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer. I'm now the great cook. I'm now the great book distributor. I'm the great puchari. I'm the great temple president. Or whatever. No, actually we are all servants and try to become instruments. Yesterday somebody asked me, how to distribute books? And then I told, you know, it's actually book distribution is nobody's nature. Because this mother, she told, she actually doesn't like to distribute books. But and then I asked her, why you like to distribute books? Because everyone is doing it. And it's the must in the yatra to distribute books. So then I told her, actually book distribution is not anyone's nature. Why? Because our nature is to enjoy. Our nature is to work, you know, for that what gives interest to me. But in book distribution, there's not an interest for you, because book distribution is a pure spiritual activity. It's not business. If you do it, of course, you can do it in the business way to earn money, but that's not ultimately book distribution. Then it's a business. But if you really want to do book distribution, then we should understand book distribution is a spiritual, pure spiritual activity. Like cooking also. Puchari service. Any service that we're doing is actually spiritual activity. Because we do it under the guidelines of the spiritual master. We didn't invent it, the process. The spiritual master tells us what kind of activity we should perform. What kind of activities are pleasing and beneficial for the Lord and also for us. So therefore, book distribution is not our business. We do the book distribution because Lord Chaitanya comes from the Parampara, through the spiritual master, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. He told that this is very dear to him. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated, when Lord Chaitanya came with the Panchatattva members to spread the Sankirtan movement, the holy name, together with love to Krishna, this love to Krishna was locked up in the storehouse of love. Nobody knew. Nobody had the key for it. It was locked. Nobody knew the code to open the door for the storehouse of love of God. But Lord Chaitanya, he knew how to open that door, because he's Radha Krishna himself, who came in combined form, in one form, to open this storehouse of love and to plunder the contents of that storehouse, the nectar, and relish it, and distribute it to everyone. And the wonderful nature of that storehouse of love was, although it was so much consumed and distributed, it never became empty. It never diminished. In material sense, if you have a storehouse of food or money in a safe on a bank account, then if you only consume, use it for yourself and distribute it, in the end there's nothing there anymore. But that storehouse of love to Krishna never stopped, it never diminished. It increased more and more. The more it distributed, the more it increased. It didn't even become stagnant, it even increased. And that actually shows that this Sankirtan process, it's purely spiritual. It's Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, Pratipatam Purnamripatam Asvadanam Sarvatma Snapanam Paramvichayate Si Krishna Sankirtanam. So the Sankirtan is Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. It's increasing happiness, increasing enjoyment. And by doing this Sankirtan, under the direction or under the influence of the spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, then one can become empowered. It is stated, Krishna Shakti Vinanayata Tara Parvartana, only those who are empowered by Krishna, they can actually spread the Sankirtan. Kali Kaliya Dharma Harinam Sankirtan. Krishna Shakti Vinanayata Tara Parvartana. So Harinam Sankirtan is a transcendental process. Book distribution is also Harinam Sankirtan. Kolokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. So it comes, it's not a material product. Therefore book distribution, the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books cannot be copied. Nobody in the material world has an interest. There's so many book houses, providers or distributors of books, but they're not so much interested in Prabhupada's books. Even in the beginning, in the 1966 and 67, the devotees had to look and ask so many book houses, will you print Prabhupada's books as it is, Bhagavad Gita as it is? Nobody had any interest. Only ultimately one book company had showed some interest and then printed that book. But first in abridged form and then in the original form later on because they thought it's too big. Too much bulky book, so it's difficult to sell because people don't like to read big books. They have no time. But Prabhupada wanted to have big books. Because one man one time told him, books are better than magazines, journals, because journals people read and they throw it away. But the book they always will keep in the shelf. So it will stay, even if they don't read it. It's a time bomb. Sooner or later they will read it. So the book distributor has to be convinced that this activity of distributing books, it's a transcendental activity, and therefore I have to learn how to accept it and surrender to it. As it comes from the spiritual master, from Parampara. And this is Lord Chaitanya's command, his request to all his devotees, to all his followers, please relish these fruits of love to Krishna yourself and distribute it. With your body, that means with your life air, prana, with your artha, with your achievements, dhyā, with your intelligence, and with your four things. Dhyā and words, speaking. Four things. Etavat janma sapalyam dehinam iha dehishu pranair artha dhyāvaca shraya acharanam sada. Lord Chaitanya quoted that from Srimad Bhagavatam, from 10th canto. Actually quoted by Lord Krishna, the most charitable and the greatest welfare activity a person can perform is the doing good for the embodied living entity. Dehi is the soul, who is embodied in the deha, in the body, in the curb, in the body, material body. So it means the devotee who has realized himself that I'm not the body, that I'm spirit soul, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna, it is my duty, first of all, out of duty, we don't know exactly what is the result. I like it, I don't like it. I do it out of a duty. And that is your book. Later on, we do it out of affection, out of love, out of... because it gives happiness to Krishna, and it gives also happiness to us. In the beginning, we do it out of duty. Then the duty becomes a very positive attachment. And it turns into affection, into taste. Beginning is no taste, we do it out of duty. But if the duty ultimately we perform regularly, the process itself, because it's a spiritual process, purifies you, because the books are purifying, the Holy Name is purifying, the words purifying, the activity is purifying, the place where we distribute it is purifying. Everything becomes purified by Sankirtan, by book distribution. So that has a very purifying effect. And later on, it turns into attachment, into affection. We like it. Not liking because it gives us a lot of money, result, or I'm number one thousand, or I'm number nobody. Doesn't ultimately matter. Doesn't matter. The service itself is so nice because so much pleasing that it satisfies us. And that is what Lord Chaitanya's gift is, what Spiritual Master, what Srila Prabhupada's gift is. They engage us. They don't want to make us just meditators. As Prabhupada is pointing out. Nowadays people like more to meditate on the tip of their nose or closing their eyes and try to be quiet and silent and come to themselves. This is not a process for devotees. This is boring. It's not pleasing ultimately for the soul. The soul is happy in activity. But not nonsense activity or activities for our own sense gratification, but activities for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. And in this age, the Lord is very merciful. He even engages all in Broadway. He wants to see everyone connected with Him, becoming happy in Krishna consciousness by the distribution of the Sankirtan movement, the Holy Name, and of the book distribution. So if we ultimately surrender to this process, and in the beginning we just do it out of a ritual or a habit or of a duty, then it becomes a natural habit, and it leads us to Krishna consciousness. In one purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada writes in the verse of that we should do everything in this way so that we can remember Krishna, and that's the first rule, and the second rule to never forget Him. So there is a purport where he describes that everything a devotee is doing, he's doing, that he will always remember Krishna and never forget Him. So we're distributing books in this. So in this way we always remember Krishna, never forget Him. We're cooking, we're making life members, we're worshipping the deity in temple or in home, we're cooking, whatever we do, you do it as a remembrance of Krishna so that we will never forget Him. So in this way we always be in Krishna consciousness. And we should do this with our prana, with our life energy, with artha, with our achievements, with our intelligence, and with our words. With these four things. This should be engaged for the Shreya Achara, for the ultimate benefit of the living entities who are embodied here in this material world, to connect them with Krishna. So therefore, book distribution or any service is not a material duty, it's not a material service. It is a pure devotional service, it is transcendental, and if we are surrendering to it, we also become transcendental. We become purified first, then we become transcendental. That means we become connected with Krishna under the pure energy of bhakti energy. And this is coming from Radharani. This is the Chit-Shakti. Chit-Shakti is never covered by Maya. Only Maya-Shakti covers living entities. But Maya-Shakti never can touch Krishna or Vishnu. She never can. Because Krishna is always surrounded by his Purna Bhagavan, always surrounded by all his multivarious energies, Chit-Shakti, his internal energies, actually giving pleasure energy, Ladini. Bhakti is Ladini Shakti. It's coming from Radharani. So therefore, devotional service naturally is very blissful. Selfish activities naturally is very troublesome. Hard work and ultimately suffering with a little enjoyment. So, but Krishna came speaking Bhagavad Gita to give us opportunity to engage in his service, to do that what he is pleased, not what we are pleased with. That is bhakta. That is bhakti. That's the process of devotional service. And when we do that, we become very dear to Krishna, we become recognized by Krishna. And then there is no lack, there is no problem. Devotees always say, I have so many problems. But there is no problem if we are engaging in devotional service. Problem is only if we are stopping, and we become mental and sensual and forgetting Krishna. Then there is a problem. But if we follow Krishna's advice, Guru's advice, then there is no problem. Krishna is not a terrorist. He doesn't want to see us suffering. He wants to see us happy all the time. So therefore, he's very merciful. He gives us activity, service. Other demigods, they don't give you service. They only give you some ritual, what is described, what you can please a few times during the year or certain months or days. And that's all. They don't give you a mission. They don't give you a daily, constant devotional service. That only Krishna can give you. Therefore we have the ninefold process, beginning with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Nine different kinds of activities we can do. And ultimately these nine kinds of activities, they're unlimited. If you surrender to one of it, or two, or three, or more of them, you see, you can go deeper and deeper and deeper, and it has no end. So I think, only nine? Only one? No. Even in one, you can go in unending bliss and activity and satisfaction. Stopping here? Any question?
About the point what you said, how I like it and not we do it how I like it and not how Krishna like it. Is there, is it always clear to distinguish that we can understand that this is really how Krishna likes? Or is it just that we cheat ourselves and we think it's Krishna how he likes, but it's actually us? Can we distinguish this?
Yeah, ultimately, as long you speculate on your own, it's mostly what you like. So that's not devotion. Devotion is not what you. It's not coming from you. It comes from above, from Guru Parampara. So Guru tells you what Krishna likes. What is the process? And to accept that is devotion. That is bhakti. That is surrender. Therefore, first we have to surrender, and then we can speak about bhakti. Now many speak about bhakti, but they don't surrender. Isn't it?
Sharanagati is very far from Atta Anatta Nivritti. Purification first, if we can go to Sharanagati.
You sure?
I don't know any other way.
Yeah? No, Sharanagati, you can start anytime.
Bhakti, not. Position, how we can act purely through in pure position of the heart? That's the question.
You can start at any time. So ultimately, at least a little Sharanagati, you can start. And then from that will come more. Maybe you cannot follow the whole process of Sharanagati. You know? But how many items Sharanagati has? Not? So then why you don't inform yourself?
Yes, but what I understood is that we have many many decisions on a daily basis in our life that we go through. Well, Guru is not present. We cannot decide every little thing in our life. This is normally the problem that devotees have on a daily basis until we come.
Therefore, that's the point what you bring up. That's very good, you know, because if you only think about Guru, but it's not only Guru who can help you. There's also other Vaishnavas who can help you. You have Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. You have three authorities. And they have to be in one line, parallel. Cannot exclude one or another. We have to follow all three authority and accept in our lives. So it's not only Guru, it's also Sadhus, it's also other Vaishnavas who can help you. Otherwise we are Kanishnas. Like the Kanishna only sees Radha Krishna, doesn't see anything else. So a foolish disciple only sees Guru and nothing else. You should also see the other Vaishnavas and respect and learn from them. Not only think, my Guru is the best and I accepting him, then with which psychology behind, then I will become the best. Therefore, we should not just fix on Guru. Guru is not pleased if we only focus on him. We should also learn how to cooperate with his disciples, with the devotees, and love them, and serve them. Then Guru is much more pleased. Like Krishna, only example, how Guru can say, I'm only happy if Guru is my disciples focus on me, not cooperating with anything else. Krishna says to Arjuna in Adi Purana, he who claims himself, I'm a devotee, he is my devotee, is not my devotee. Only the devotee of my devotee is my real devotee. So we should not only think, I'm just focused on Krishna, or only focus on Guru, and I don't see anything else. So we have to learn from, you can learn from so many Vaishnavas. Even from so many living entities you can learn. In the 11th canto, Krishna describes one avaduta, he had 24 Gurus in the nature. Because everyone who helps you to come more near to Krishna is your Guru. Of course, Diksha Guru, you have one, but you can have Vatma Padarshaka Guru, Diksha Guru, Shiksha Gurus. Shiksha Gurus, you can have many. Not too many that it becomes confusing and contradictive, but if it is everything, I would say, in harmony, with instruction of the parampara of Prabhupada and your Diksha Guru, if this is in correspondence, in harmony, then you can accept. They should not be, I would say, crossing each other. And then Sharanagati starts. Accept everything favorable. That's the first item Bhaktivinoda Thakur Sharanagati book, song book, gives. anukulyasa sankalpa. Accept everything favorable for Krishna service. Is this difficult? Start with something that is favorable. Is there something favorable what you can see? What you can do? What is it? I ask you, because you say it's very difficult. It's very difficult.
No.
It's very difficult to surrender. Is there something favorable?
I said that Sharanagati is a very high position. When we come to Sharanagati, then it's very easy. But before that, I think it's a long process, which is called Anathanivritti, which takes sometimes life after life after life, because mostly we are... Because mostly we first have a problem with our mind. Sharanagati comes from heart, but we have this obstacle in mind that we should go through first.
Ah, really?
I don't know. At least
you don't know.
Usually mind is obstacle to heart.
Yeah, for you definitely mind is obstacle.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah. So therefore you can calm down the mind a little and start with a little Sharanagati. With a little Sharanagati we can start. You don't have to come on top Sharanagati, Sharanam Sharanyam. Full surrender on Krishna. Sarvadharmam Parityaja Mamikam Sharanam Braja. That's true. That's top. But Sharanagati you can start right now. That's the beginning. Prabhupada gave us Sharanagati as process from very beginning. Otherwise, what we are doing here? Right? What we are doing here, if Sharanagati is the goal, or I would say so far away, and I always am mental, it is so far away, you put it so far away from you, that you will never achieve it. Because when you can say, I am free of anatta nivritti, I'm free of anatta. You're always of anatta. Because the body itself is anatta. Your mind is anatta. Everything is anatta. So you never become free, completely free of anatta. Especially if you think it is so far away. It is actually very near. It is easy for the easy-minded, and it's complicated and very far away for the complicated minded. Only an example, Bhagavati. I'll give you an example. If you fall in love, if you fall in love with a man, is it easy to surrender? To Sharanagati, after many, many experiences, it means you have many, I say in ideal fall, don't make now the love affair complicated. Love affair is the most natural thing. It's rasa. So if rasa is there, if you fall in love, if a boy and a girl fall in love with each other, naturally there's a surrender. You learn how to cooperate and work together. Otherwise, if you have this already in the beginning, not surrender and no cooperation, then we already, it's programmed, that it will lead in divorce in a few months. Then you don't have to go to the, to the registration office to make, to put the ring on your hands, so now I'm married. This is only external. That doesn't make you married. The real marriage, we can also say, comes from the heart. You have some feeling, Then you can marry. Then it's only an external thing. But the real marriage is heart to heart. It's love. In the classical ideal sense. Of course, you can always be skeptic now and say, because you maybe have so many bad experiences. But still, we cannot, doubt the process. The process is still working. So love you cannot learn. can learn love between man and woman? You can learn it? No, that's not. You can, don't learn. It's natural. So love to Krishna is natural. Either you are a devotee or not devotee. Either you become attached to Krishna, attracted to Krishna, then you take the process. You know how to what is pleasing to him. Then Sharanagati starts. As simple as that. But you can make it very complicated and very skeptical now. And then you can really go on for life after life. No? Krishna has time. Time is on his side. Yeah, there's no problem with the time. It's only for us now the unique chance that we can surrender. To accept that what is favorable, don't be always skeptical. Then you have to follow the second rule, you know, to kick away everything that is unfavorable, what is negative. Kick it out of your mind. Pratyukulyasya vachanam. Give it a kick. You have to be determined as a yogi, a bhakti yogi, or a devotee, you have to be determined. Tritavrata. Cannot be whimsical. Oh, I like, today I don't like. Oh, it's impossible. Oh, it's so long way. Oh, it's so far away, it's so difficult, and it's not so easy to attain it. So, then why we are still hanging around here? And go another place where it is more easy. More pleasurable for your mind. But there he will also not be happy. Because he's a rascal. First we have to learn dhammenaccha, control of mind and senses. Samenaccha, dhammenaccha, tyagena, satya, saucha, yamena, nyamenava. So following rules and regulations. It's the beginning of yoga. Following rules and regulations, Sharanagati, surrender to Guru's instruction, Shastra and Sattva instruction, that's Sharanagati. The yogi starts before asana, but nowadays you go in yoga school, learn asana and pranayama, and you think you're a big yogi. But you don't follow yama and niyama, the beginning of it, the basic of that. Not. So we're cheating ourselves. We become cheated. So pratikulyasa vachanam. Then next is rakshishvatite vishvaso. To always consider Krishna as your only protector. You have a doubt about that? Or you have more faith in your own protection? Your own power? No? Can you not even protect yourself from the monkeys here in Vrindavan?
Yeah, I've been just bitten by a dog.
Yeah, or a dog. No? See, Krishna has to protect you from that also. Or he gives you intelligence, you know, don't go near to the dog and the monkey. Don't make friendship with them. And don't Yeah, but I say, Krishna protects you, this faith you have to have, and Krishna maintains you. Gopritve varanantata. Gopritve, that means Krishna is the protector, he is my maintainer. Krishna is my protector. So these are not the first four stages, or how we say, items of Sharanagati. Then Atmani Kshepa Karpanye. Atmani Kshepa means full surrender. That's maybe a little more progress. Full surrender. Atmani Kshepa. With body, mind and words. With soul, with a full heart. Surrender. That means some realization, some purification. And then, Karpanye. That's also what we all have to learn, Bhagavati. To be always meek and humble. You follow what I say? You follow? You raise your hands. You have a question about this?
In last class, this said...
In?
Last question, Mahaprabhu.
Yeah. Speak in the mic.
She's sitting with devotee.
Speak in mic.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting with devotee.
Yeah.
Then one scholar come and he told he I Deep Vijay. He come and told, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, you are a great scholar, but you tell something about the Ganga. He told 100 slokas.
Yeah.
100 slokas.
100 slokas.
100. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but one, number 6 slokas, there is some defect.
five mistakes.
100 slokas, I tell 5 mistakes. Then he tell, okay, 6 slokas is
speak,
that.
Speak.
6 slokas is like that. This, then he asked, okay. Then he asked, he told that he himself is God. Radha Krishna Yama. He is God. I cannot tell something about it. That is Saraswati Devi. He is Saraswati Devi.
Saraswati.
I cannot. What he is told is simply Radha Krishna Yama. Radha Krishna Yama is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He told that is this. So, this. Again he come second day then he told that, okay, whatever I told, but no, you are great devotee, you are big behind, what, so, but whatever you told, well, no, thik, I, whatever I told, that is, thik. Na bhajite dev prem dhan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now came, if anybody cannot do any bhajan, if you may, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind that he will fulfill this bhajan. He told us. Then he become very great devotee, Digvijay Pandit, great devotee in Vrindavan. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's quality is that if anybody cannot do bhajan, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfill this. Now he is a great prem dhan. When prem dhan that, prem dhan to Lord Chaitanya, prem dhan, he, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if he, na bhajite, Chaitanya Chaitanya, na bhajite, they prem dhan. If he is not, they prem dhan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came so merciful, like this.
Okay. That was comment. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Hey, you are here.
Hare Krishna. As book description is pleasing Prabhupada, but sometimes we have different type of services and we are engaged in that services and we don't have time for book distributions. So whether we are doing other services, the Prabhupada is pleased and Krishna is pleased with the other services.
Ultimately devotional service is absolute. He wrote one letter to me when we distributed so many books, Manidhara, me, that 1 year. And Prabhupada wrote a book, you know, wrote a letter, and he was very thankful that we distributed so many books. And he mentioned the verse, Yetamam Prabhatyante, Tamsatai Pachamiham, that Krishna will correspond or, I would say, reveal himself in the such a way as we are surrendering unto him, he give result. And then he mentioned that the book distribution is very pleasing, it's very dear to the Lord, although devotional service is absolute. If we are distributing the glories of the Lord, then this is very dear. But he mentioned, you know, devotional service is absolute. And ultimately, that's how we were trained in the 70s and 80s when book distribution and everything increased more and more, temples and devotees came. So everyone was actually a part of the Sankirtan mission, even the cooks. the pujaris, the temple presidents, the temple commanders. Everyone was a part and parcel of the Sankirtan movement. Like if there is war. If there is war, then there are not only the frontier soldiers who go in the front. Somebody has to do that job, to go directly in the front, to fight with the enemy. The frontier soldiers, they're very great heroes. No? But there are also many, those who stay, we also need those who stay behind it, who are delivering munition, I would say, who are cooking, who are preparing everything, mechanics, supporters, money, those who are giving money for it. So everyone is a part of this same mission. And then that's actually how we should see it. We should not see the temple engagement and Sankirtan mission separate from each other. It's one thing. Because one cannot exist without the other. If you only do Sankirtan, and if you only distribute books without temple, devotees have seen this experience. The devotee becomes a little rough in behavior, a little wild. Sometimes even a little puffed up. If there only is a temple devotee without seeing a perspective or seeing in the broader perspective of Sankirtan, of spreading and actually doing everything in such a nice way that when people will come here, they will be pleased, they become attracted, they will get facility, that they can also begin devotional service. Then they become, without that they give respect and service to the book distribution and Sankirtan mission, then pujari and temple service can easily become a sentimental thing and a very, I would say, complacent thing. Or I'm satisfied because I'm in temple and I do my routine. And sometimes you become very sentimental also with deity and with your way of seeing Krishna and worshipping Krishna. So both have to go together. Because both will help each other to give that everyone can grow in a very healthy way. It will nourish each other. If we are seeing difference from each other, not respecting, not seeing everything in the same mission, then we become egoist also. Only think about my service, about my thing. So that's a little selfish then. So we have to see it in a broader picture. That's how we were trained.